Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to laugh, to win, and to live the thrill of the action.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. What the hell's going on out here?
No idea what's going on, but I am excited.
Every pick, every play, every game-changing moment. This is You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome to another edition of You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM right here on the BetMGM Network. I'm Femi Abebefe, hanging out with you guys over the next 4 hours, where you can find us across a multitude of platforms. Make sure to watch us live 24/7 on the BetMGM Network and directly on the free Odyssey app. You can also check us out on Twitch at BetMGM Network and on YouTube at the BetMGM Network. You can watch us on Roku, Fubo TV, Samsung TV Plus, and more. And if you'd like to listen to us, you can go ahead and do so at Sirius Channel 160 and Sirius XM 205. And throughout these 4 hours, make sure you hit us up on social media. You can find me on Twitter, at Femi Abebefe. You can find me on Instagram, Femi_Abebefe. Check out the show on Twitter, at You Better You Bet, and the entire network, at BetMGM Network, over on Twitter. If you like our show, Bet Sweats, BetMGM Tonight, Daily Tip, all the shows that we have across the network, weekdays and weekends, at BetMGM Network is where you can find the wagertainment. We got the crew hanging with us here on this Friday. We have Tyler Morales, Jake Hassan, Bill Zimmerman, Mike Brown, Sean Haw, Addie Bates, Nick Costos. He joins us at the top of the hour with his thoughts on last night's Thursday night football game that saw the Chargers destroy the Vikings. Not even close. 37-10. Chargers are the victors. We bet Chargers -3. What a glorious night to sit there and take in that game as we collected our money after 60 minutes of football. But we're going to get into a lot of football over the course of these 4 hours. NFL, big weekend in college football, World Series Game 1, Dodgers at the Blue Jays tonight. We're going to get into some NBA bets, NHL bets. If you miss anything across these 4 hours, make sure you check us out in podcast form. Just search You Better You Bet wherever you get your podcast. And because we're putting the content on there for you to consume in on-demand fashion, the least you could do is to subscribe, rate, review, once again, wherever you get your podcast. We have two guests that will be joining us throughout the program, starting at 5 o'clock Eastern. College football betting analyst for the Action Network, host of the Big Bets on Campus podcast, Colin Wilson, will check in with us at 5 o'clock to give us his best bets for week 9 in college football, which is headlined by the conference where it just means more, the SEC. We have Ole Miss, Oklahoma, Mizzou, Vandy, A&M, LSU. Another fun weekend ahead in college football. And then at 5:20 Eastern, Hall of Fame pitcher, World Series champion, World Series MVP, two-time Cy Young winner, a real treat for us on this Friday here on You Better You Bet as Tom Glavine will check in with us at 5:20 Eastern time and will help us break down the Fall Classic, which once again begins tonight between the Dodgers and the Blue Jays. Not every day you get a World Series MVP on your program, but today is that day for You Better You Bet. But let's go ahead and get into what we saw last night with the Chargers and the Vikings. Once again, LA wins it 37-10, and this game was just an absolute domination. And I was telling Mike Brown this before we came on the air just about 10 minutes ago, saying that, you know what? We've had a hell of a lot better games in primetime than what we saw last night. And if not for betting, and if not for having been on the right side, I might not have watched the rest of this game after about 30 minutes of play. Like, this was a real snoozer, to be quite honest. Figuratively, and in my instance in the fourth quarter, literally. Like, I guess a couple times there, drive, I was like, oh, I just missed the drive. Let's go, wait back up here. But at that point, the game had already been decided because LA was the much better team from opening kickoff. I mean, they outgained the Minnesota Vikings 419-164. Like, that is insane. LA, 6 yards per play. Minnesota, 3.5 yards per play. The Chargers had 207 rushing yards compared to Minnesota's 34. And it wasn't because of like a boatload of turnovers or something like that. No, both teams turned the ball over equally. Just one turnover apiece. This was just a flat out utter domination by the Los Angeles Chargers as they improved to 5-3 and the Vikings fall below 500. And I want to do a lot of Minnesota here because I think for the Chargers, they're not as interesting. Like, they're a good team. I've always felt they're a good team, and we'll talk about them as well here. But I think Minnesota deserves the bulk of our attention with last night's result and what we should expect to see going forward. Because up until this point in the season, it has kind of low-key been a year from hell for the Minnesota Vikings. Their quarterback gets injured week two. They've had Jordan Addison's suspension. They didn't get him back until week four. The offensive line has been banged up the entire season. Ryan Kelly with the concussion, he's on IR. You got Brian O'Neill, who was inactive last night's game. Christian Darrisaw has been dealing with injuries, dealing with a knee injury heading into last night's game. Only played 9 plays. As you look at their offensive line, and you look up, and all of a sudden, within 9 plays, hey, 60% of the O-line is out. Like, this has been a year from hell injury-wise for the Minnesota Vikings. And that's not even to mention the defensive injuries with guys like Andrew Van Ginkel, who was an all-pro last year. He didn't play in last night's game. But to me, once again, the story with the Minnesota Vikings and the most interesting development with the Minnesota Vikings happened to do with somebody who was not on the field. And that's with J.J. McCarthy, who, I mean, you look at football Twitter, everyone's got a conspiracy. Everyone's got an opinion on what's going on with J.J. McCarthy. And I know the prevailing thought out there is that he has been benched, and this was a soft benching, and they wanted to go ahead and hide J.J. from what has been 2 bad games, and let's play Carson Wentz. After the game last night, of course, a dominant victory for the Los Angeles Chargers, but head coach Kevin O'Connell for the Minnesota Vikings, he told the media, quote, if J.J. is healthy, JJ will play. And that's where a lot of the debating has been done is like, okay, like how does an ankle injury last this long? I don't know. I mean, it's a high ankle sprain, man. Like sometimes there are 2 month injuries. Like high ankle sprains are serious. And I get he's a quarterback. He's not a running back or a wide receiver or a corner or something like that, but still a high ankle sprain is a high ankle sprain. And we saw the report from Adam Schefter last Sunday saying, you know what? The diagnosis was 2 to 6 weeks. This week is the 6th week. And all indications are that McCarthy is likely to play next week when they take on the Detroit Lions. Now, to me, I honestly think that this, the simplest solution is actually what's been going on here. The simplest answer, rather. Like, I think he's just been hurt, man. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm not buying the conspiracies that this is a soft benching. Like, this doesn't make any sense when you look at how the Vikings have been playing without J.J. McCarthy. Like, if he was healthy enough to play, I think he would actually have been practicing in full. Like, I talked about this with Nick yesterday because, like, Nick, we were going back and forth. Nick thinks that this has been sort of a soft benching. I don't believe that. Like, I don't think he's going to be limited if they're benching him. Like, they don't need to make him limited. Just put him as a full participant and say, all right, let's go on with our team. Like, do we really think that they're going to say, well, JJ, we know that you're healthy, but we're not going to let you practice so that we can cover up what is a benching and tell the media that you're hurt, but in actuality, you're now QB2. Like, really? Like, that's what we're supposed to believe? Like come on. Hey, why isn't anybody asking that about the San Francisco 49ers, where Brock Purdy for the last 2 weeks has been limited in practice but has not been playing? And if anything, you want to talk about like soft benching and, oh, let's ride the hot hand, the Niners are actually winning games without Brock Purdy. Like, they could say, oh, well, we want to roll with Mac Jones, so let's keep Brock Purdy on the sidelines because we're 5-2. Like, you know, like the Vikings aren't winning without J.J. McCarthy. They look like trash. Not to say that they would look great with J.J., but like there's no reason to be like, hey, like let's go out there and put Carson Wentz out there, which we'll get into here in this segment, because he looks really, really bad. And also he might need some of that quote-unquote soft benching as he appears to be very injured. You look at his face after every single hit last night. But like literally, the Niners have been practicing Purdy and he's not playing. But we all know it's a little bit nuts to suggest that Brock Purdy has been benched. And I get it. He has a lot more skins on the wall than J.J. McCarthy has. Brock Purdy has played in a Super Bowl. Brock Purdy has finished in the top five for an MVP vote a couple of years ago. Purdy is an established quarterback, and he was established with all the money the Niners just gave him this past offseason. So, of course, that's probably the reason as to why nobody is wondering if Brock Purdy has been soft benched, even though he's been practicing but not playing. And once again, he's not going to play this Sunday after practicing all week long in limited fashion, which is the key thing here with J.J. McCarthy, practicing limited, which is very, very vague, but limited nonetheless. The big thing with me, and this ties all back to the game last night, but I really want to just kind of talk this through, just to kind of lay out the cards about how I truly feel about this. We don't have any data on whether J.J. McCarthy is good or not. There's none whatsoever in the NFL. You can go back to Michigan in college, where he won a national title, handing the ball off to that Michigan team and all the running backs that they had there. You can go back to that if you want to go out there. But in terms of the NFL, we have no data on J.J. McCarthy. He was the 10th overall pick. That is a fact. The Minnesota Vikings moved up for J.J. McCarthy in the draft last year. That is a fact. He got injured, torn meniscus, missed all of 2024. That is a fact. And in 2025, he has a high ankle sprain and has missed 5 games after playing in weeks 1 and weeks 2. Those are the facts when it comes to J.J. McCarthy. But also a fact is that there's no way the Vikings in just 2 NFL games can determine whether McCarthy is the guy or whether he's not the guy. And for Minnesota, that's the goal of this year. They need to figure out if J.J. McCarthy is the guy. And we know, just based off of the economics of the NFL salary cap and the quarterback position, by year 3, you better know whether you got the guy or not. Because given the quarterback contracts that we see out there, Tua's contract, Trevor Lawrence's contract, these guys are getting paid whether they're really elite or not. They're getting paid, man. There's no middle class here for the quarterbacks. It's either you're paid big bucks or you're a journeyman free agent quarterback and you have to go the Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield route to eventually get that big money. There's no middle ground here for these QBs. And for Minnesota, once we get to this time next year, they need to start making that decision whether they want to continue with J.J. McCarthy. They can't afford to soft bench this dude. Whether he's terrible or not, they need to see him play to know for a fact that he is not the guy. Because that's what the suggestion is. He's bad, so they benched him. After just 2 games, right? They don't know that. You don't know that at home watching and listening. We're all just guessing about J.J. McCarthy. So J.J. McCarthy is going to play when he is healthy, like Kevin O'Connell just said. And last night is the biggest reason why J.J. McCarthy will play, and I don't believe was soft benched. Because look at the alternative. It's right there. Proof is in the pudding. Look at the alternative. The alternative is Carson Wentz, who put together another bad performance against the Los Angeles Chargers. Now, we have to admit, and it's important context, clearly Carson Wentz is injured. I mean, I didn't even realize the guy was dealing with this, like, elbow injury or whatever he had going on his left arm. Like, they're showing the pregame footage of the players walking out, and he's kind of, like, flexing the arm. I'm like, what the hell is that harness that's on Carson Wentz? boy, am I glad I bet the Chargers. The guy was hurt going into the game. And of course, he's going to put up a stat line of 15 of 27, 144 yards, touchdown and interception, and a QBR of 27.3. For those who might not know, QBR is a scale of 0 to 100, 50 being average. His QBR last night, 27.3. Sacked a number of times, hit a number of other times, as through five starts, Carson Wentz, once again, five starts, has yet to put together a QBR above 50. 50 is the average. Look at the alternative. Do you really think that Kevin O'Connell would opt for Carson Wentz over a young quarterback where they have sweat equity? They are invested in J.J. McCarthy. It's not the $60 million year investment, but it's the 10th overall pick investment. They have no ties to Carson Wentz. They signed him in August. There's no investment there. They could say, see you later, Carson Wentz, and they're not going to lose one iota of sleep. But with J.J. McCarthy, there's an investment. And we're led to believe that they have benched that investment after two games for 27.3 QBR. That's what you want to sell me on? Come on. Like, let's just be for real about this whole thing. Let's be for real. J.J. McCarthy, like Kevin O'Connell said, when he is healthy, will start for the Minnesota Vikings. And before we wrap up here, because I know we are up against it, got about 60 seconds to go till the break, you can miss me with this narrative of, well, look how Sam Darnold and Daniel Jones are playing. Those were two quarterbacks on the Vikings roster last year. Look at how they're playing. Like, cut it out. Knock it off. Did we not watch the playoff game with Sam Darnold? Did we not watch that? Did we not watch week 18 against the Lions when they had like 12 defensive players on IR? We didn't see how that went with Sam Darnold in the big spot. Like, Daniel Jones, we don't have enough tape on what that's supposed to look like. Like, he was with the Vikings for 30 minutes. They were supposed to go ahead with Daniel Jones or Sam Darnold? Like, let's be for real. The goal of every team is to win the Super Bowl. Do you think that Sam Darnold is going to win a Super Bowl? Do you think that Daniel Jones is going to win a Super Bowl? Like, let's be honest about it. Can J.J. McCarthy win a Super Bowl? That remains to be seen. But damn it, at least there's a chance. With those other two guys, we all know what the answer is. It's a resounding no. So let's pump the brakes. Minnesota will go back to J.J. McCarthy because guess what? They have no other option because they can't continue with what we saw last night. On the other side, we'll tackle all the top stories from around the world of sports, starting with World Series Game 1 between the Dodgers and the Blue Jays.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary. Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Welcome back. This is You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetMGM Network. Femi and Bebfe hanging out with you guys on this Friday. 40 minutes from now, we'll be joined by Nick Kostos with his thoughts on last night's Chargers' resounding victory over the Minnesota Vikings, 37-10. And one of those games where if you didn't have any money on it, It was a game that took place. Like, let's just be honest about what we saw last night. The Chargers dominated from minute one. And after just one drive, you knew Chargers were going to win. Chargers were going to cover. That was never in doubt, which was great to have a lay it and laugh winner. It's always fun when you can get that in a primetime NFL game. So Nick will talk about that coming up in 40 minutes. 20 minutes from now, we'll break down the popular betting sides in the NFL and in college football. The BetMGM insights from our pal John Ewing, where we look to make it legendary. Very, very fun and interesting teams, especially in the NFL side, with some of the more popular bets in terms of the ticket count. So we'll break that down coming up in 20 minutes. But joining us right now, like he does each and every weekday at 3:20 Eastern, it's our executive producer, Bill Zimmerman. Bill, what's going on? How was your Thursday night football viewing experience? And from looking at the chat, it sounds like you might be a part of the crew that thinks that McCarthy was soft benched by the Minnesota Vikings.
I do, Femi. You know, I guess I'm a conspiracy theorist, and I'm going to give you two
tinfoil
things.
Here we go.
Here it goes. Two things. One, high ankle sprains. You can barely walk on them. J.J. McCarthy finished that game against the Atlanta Falcons and magically had a high ankle sprain the next day. Two, did you see J.J. McCarthy nimbly dancing around the pile of players? Looked like he could have been in Swan Lake with that ankle sprain last night when the play hit the sidelines and he had to get out of the way.
I did see that video that was circulating on social media. Said, "Whoa, don't know about this ankle injury. Like, I don't think he's like a cripple right now. It's just that he's not ready. He's been working himself back into the practice. Like, he's been limited. That's my thing. Is that like he's not practicing it in full. And just because you can practice doesn't mean like you're ready to go and play in an NFL game. Now they have this mini bye week next week. I'm guessing next Wednesday." J.J. McCarthy, full participant, and it's going to put everyone's mind at ease. Now, if it's J.J. McCarthy limited and Carson Wentz is playing, then maybe I'll put on the tinfoil hat as well. But at least as it stands right now, I'm like, the guy's hurt. Like, I don't know. Maybe he doesn't heal as fast as other quarterbacks. Maybe he's dealing with this ankle injury, and we're going to finally get to see him once he's ready to roll, is what Kevin O'Connell's been saying.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's possible. I'm not saying this is 100% the case, but you just kind of look at that kind of stuff. You look at the fact that it does look like they were playing with the idea of Aaron Rodgers, and they weren't sure if they wanted to let Darnold walk. It just feels like Kevin O'Connell might be uncertain if J.J. McCarthy is ready to be the guy this year, and it just seemed like it was an opportunity to sit him down for a little bit. It just seems convenient.
KOC is getting some cold feet at the altar. You know, maybe that's what's happening here. He's like, do I really want to commit fully to this guy? Well, buddy, you already walked down the aisle. Time to say I do when you let Sam Darnold go. So like this is what it is, man. And I don't even disagree with them letting Sam Darnold go. As I said in the last segment, like, I think we all have like very short memories to what it was in January when we saw that guy poop his pants on Sunday Night Football against the Lions and then do the same thing a week later against the Rams in the wild card round. Like, it's going great right now, and QBR, EPA per play, he's elite. But let's get to the playoffs and let's see if they really miss Sam Darnold. And that's the guy that was going to carry them to the Super Bowl. Miss me with that nonsense. But let's get to some of the top stories that we have on this Friday, Bill. What's the number one thing we need to know this afternoon?
Femi, let's start with the World Series because it begins tonight. Game one from Toronto, the pitching matchup. Blake Snell on the hill for the Dodgers and Trey Yesavage, for the Blue Jays. Interesting note here from Jeff Passan. Bo Bichette, who hasn't played since September 6th, is batting cleanup for the Blue Jays. He's going to be playing second base, a position he's played one game in 2019 at AAA. So interesting decision there by Toronto to get Bichette in the lineup. Dodgers minus 155 on the road tonight. Jays plus 130. Femi, for the series, Dodgers minus 225. Jays plus 185 over at BetMGM.
This Bichette thing is crazy. Like batting cleanup, the guy hasn't played it since early September. Like, that's nuts that they're going to just throw him into the... I thought they were going to put him at the bottom of the order and see, like, hey, let's see what it looks like with Bo Bichette. Maybe he's feeling good and maybe you can bump him up the order, move some things around. But, man, like, this is what I was always concerned about when we talked about them winning Game 7. Hey, Bo Bichette's coming back. Okay, well, this is kind of throw off the vibes. This is throw off the mojo of what has been an awesome and dominant lineup in October. We'll find out starting tonight, won't we? I am very, very skeptical, though, for this with the Toronto Blue Jays. My opinion on this series, and yeah, like I don't think that this is going to be what people want or what will captivate America and Canada. I think it's going to be a quick series. I do. I think this is going to be a quick series in favor of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Talked about the under 5.5 games earlier in this week at plus 140. I took it a step further. I decided to lay the 2.5 games on the series spread with the Dodgers plus 170. Because like if it's a quick series, it's not going to be quick with Toronto winning in 5 games or in 4 games. So let's take them out of the equation and get the 30 extra cents. Instead of plus 140, let's do plus 170. Dodgers laying 2.5. Could they sweep? They could definitely do it. I just want the protection of if they drop a game, I think they'll take care of the rest and win this in 5. Like they're going to split these first games, whether they win tonight or win on Saturday, and they're not letting that thing go back to Toronto. I think they win all 3 in LA Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and we will crown them as back-to-back World Series champions. I think the Dodgers have the better lineup. I think they have the better pitching rotation. I mean, Blake Snell tonight, Blake Snell has been on fire in October. And who knows, maybe the long layoff cools them off a little bit. Maybe they're out of rhythm. I don't really think so. I think they're all rested. I think they're all ready to roll. You got Snell, Yamamoto, Glasnow, Otani. Like, come on. That rotation is insane. And that's not to just throw shade toward the Blue Jays. Hell of a run. And I think that this would have happened to the Mariners too. Like, as somebody who's a Mariners fan, like, if the Mariners made it, they were going to get cleaned up really quickly as well. But this is just a mismatch, in my opinion, on paper. The Dodgers get it done. As for what everyone's betting for tonight's game, 56% of the bets are on the Blue Jays at plus 130. So the underdog getting some tickets there with people wanting to bet 100 to win 130. However, 60% of the handle is on the Dodgers money line at minus 155. Makes a lot of sense there since you have to bet 155 to win 100. 66% of the bets and 66% of the handle, funny how that works out, on over 7.5. 75% of the bets, 71% of the handles on the Dodgers run line at plus 115. As for the popular player props, fifth most popular, Mookie Betts, under 1.5 total hits, runs, and RBIs, or as our buddy, the bald freak Brad Evans would say, under 1.5 for Mookie Betts at plus 125. Fourth most popular, George Springer, to hit a home run, plus 450. Third most popular, Blake Snell, over 6.5 strikeouts, even money. Second most popular, Vlad Guerrero Jr., to hit a home run at plus 400. And then the most popular bet over at BetMGM, where we look to make it legendary, Shohei Ohtani, to hit a home run, plus 220. I don't know about all that happening tonight, but I do know the Dodgers get the split in Toronto. They win in LA all 3 games, and they win this bad boy in 5. Dodgers laying 2.5 games with the spread is my series bet for the World Series. Bill, hit me with the next one.
Femi, Lamar Jackson had been limited in practice all week, but he was listed as a full participant today for the Baltimore Ravens. John Harbaugh gave no indication who would start a quarterback other than to say that if it wasn't Lamar Jackson, it would be Tyler Huntley. Both Ian Rapoport and Tom Pelissero have hinted that it appears we're trending towards Jackson playing, but a lot of the Ravens beat writers in Baltimore are saying they're not so sure based on what they've seen with their own eyes. Now, Femi, we'll find out who's going to be starting this weekend for the Ravens against the Chicago Bears. Meanwhile, Femi, for the Bears, all 3 of their starting corners with Jalen Johnson on IR, Tyreek Stevenson and Kyler Gordon are also going to miss this game for Chicago. Baltimore back up to a 7-point favorite this Sunday.
Yeah, this has been a journey for me with this game, because early in the week, I laid 6.5 with Baltimore with anticipation that Lamar Jackson would be returning. We get the news on Monday that he's not on the practice field, and I said, rut-row Shaggy, time to bet +7 with the Bears and buy out of that bet. So I'm like, all right, we're off the bet. Let's see what happens. And Lamar, Wednesday limited, Thursday limited. Today, he's full, but the big stuff is what Bill just outlined with the Bears secondary. All those guys out, man, like this defense for the Bears is really good when healthy. Like any defense would be really good when healthy when they're led by a really good defensive coordinator. But when they have the injuries, you can run on this Bears team already when they are healthy. And now you're going to be able to pass on them with all this cluster injury at cornerback. This is a uphill battle for the Chicago Bears. I like the Ravens this afternoon. Went back to the well and laid 6.5. So we are back on Baltimore. A full circle moment for yours truly. Bet Baltimore, bought out of it. Now we bet Baltimore once again here on this Friday. Now, I'm not going to stop me from maybe buying out if we get bad news about Lamar tomorrow or on game day. Like, this thing is fluid. We are still like wanting to get all the information and all the facts here, and we need Lamar to play in this game. But I'm anticipating just the fact that he was full today. I'm guessing he will play. Like, and I have to say, I was wrong. I thought Lamar was going to be out. Like, you asked me yesterday. I'm like, I don't know. I don't like how this is all looking. But the fact that he was full today leads me to believe that he's likely going to be there. Will he be full strength? I don't think so. But I don't think he needs to be if the Bears are going to be sitting there with cornerback 4, 5, and 6 in nickel coverage and the run defense that's not very good to begin with. So I like the Ravens. I think it's a nice bounce back spot for the Ravens. I think they win this one by a touchdown or more. And we'll have the conversation of if they can run down the Pittsburgh Steelers in the AFC North. Bill, hit me with the next one.
I mean, Philadelphia Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni would not give any indication of A.J. Brown's status for Sunday's game against the New York Giants. Brown has missed practice all week with a hamstring injury after having the big game last week. So, Femi, while that's up in the air, it doesn't look like he's probably playing based on his practice participation this week. Eagles currently a 7.5-point favorite against the Giants.
Yeah, this is an interesting one because usually I would agree with you. I'm like DNP all week. It's like, okay, like he's out probably. But Sirianni did say that A.J. Brown is one of those guys that doesn't need to practice to play. So it feels like they might try to take this all the way up until game time when the actives and inactives are due 90 minutes prior to kickoff. I think this is a true 50-50. I don't know. Like, I could see him play. I could see him being out. I don't have a read on this one, but the fact that they don't want to rule him out, if somebody said you must decide, I would actually slightly lean towards A.J. Brown playing. Now, maybe he's on a pitch count, or maybe he doesn't make it all the way through the game, but regardless, I don't think it matters. I think the Eagles are going to kill the Giants on Sunday. I do. Like, if A.J. Brown is out there, great. If he's not out there, all right, we're going to figure it out without him. This to me screams mismatch. And I think the fact that these games are so close together, the Thursday night loss from a couple of weeks ago, and now they have a chance at revenge this Sunday. I think the Eagles are going to be locked in against a rival. They know they don't want to get swept by the New York Giants. So I think that the Eagles will cover this number. So I laid 7 earlier in the week. I'm obviously hoping that A.J. Brown plays, but also like from an injury standpoint, A.J. Brown's the big headliner. The New York Giants have a lot of injuries as well. Brian Burns, their best pass rusher, has not practiced this week. That's a massive deal. Also, their secondary, with guys like Javon Holland, have been missing games or missing practice time. Like, they might have some cluster injuries down a couple of starters in the secondary and down their best pass rusher. So while A.J. Brown gets all the headlines, the Giants themselves are dealing with a number of injuries as well. So for me, it's Philly or pass. At 7.5, I think it's a great teaser leg to tease the Eagles down to 1.5. Pair it with anything else you like on the board. But if it ever gets to 7, it's lay it and just bet the Eagles and watch the Eagles fly to the window as you will win this one. I really do like Philadelphia this Sunday. Bill, hit me with the next one.
I mean, Andy Dalton is going to be starting this week for the Carolina Panthers as they square off against the Buffalo Bills. Bryce Young is dealing with that ankle injury, so Dave Canales will turn to the veteran. Buffalo is a 7-point road favorite as the Panthers try to prove they're for real.
Yeah, a very, very interesting game here just because, like, what's the downgrade going from Bryce Young to Andy Dalton? There's some people who might believe that Andy Dalton's actually better. I don't know if I'm willing to go that far, but I don't think the downgrade is as big as it usually is when you go from QB1 to QB2, and especially when the strength of Carolina and what they're going to try to do is to run the football. They can do that with Bryce Young or with Andy Dalton. Hand the ball off to Rico Dowdle, hand it off to Chuba Hubbard, and watch those guys jam it down the throats of the Buffalo Bills defense. Now, I do believe, though, the number is where we should be at 7. At 7, it's a no bet for me. If we see more Carolina money heading into the weekend, and let's say we touch 6.5, at that point, I will bet the Buffalo Bills just on principle. Like, I don't think that this should be below 7. And the matchup screams Carolina. They're at home where they play really well. Buffalo's defense has been bad. They've lost 2 straight games. Coming off of the bye now, the vibes haven't been good for the Bills. This should not be 6.5. So let's just look out for that. If we get 6.5, I'm betting the Bills. If it's 7, 7.5, I'm just going to pass the game because I think that's where we should be with Carolina as a home dog. But at 6.5, that would be a buy point on Buffalo. Bill, hit me with the next story.
Femi, we have no idea who's starting at quarterback for the Jets this week against Cincinnati. Aaron Glenn has decided to keep that decision a secret. We do know that Garrett Wilson and Sauce Gardner are both out for this game. Jets are a 6.5-point underdog, as Tyler Morales expects big things from Mason Taylor.
Yes, it's his guy, Mason Taylor, who popped up on the injury report. Tyler says, I want all of his props. What's interesting with this game is the Jets have been getting bet over the last like hour or so. The 6.5s are now 6. Now, BetMGM has a 6.5, and a couple other sportsbooks have 6.5. But a lot of intrigue at some sharp sportsbooks on the New York Jets. Do those people know who the starting quarterback is? Maybe. Maybe it's Fields. Maybe it's Tyrod Taylor. Maybe it doesn't matter. Because I'm not sure if Joe Flacco, who was a 5.5-point underdog against the Steelers, should be now laying near a touchdown, even against the lowly drubs of the New York Jets. So that's how I feel about that game. Let's find out, though, who the QB1 will be for Gangrene. We'll talk the popular betting sides in the NFL and college football next here on You Better You Bet.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Let's get back to it here on You Better You Bet on a Friday on the BetMGM Network. This is Femi Abebefe hanging with you guys this afternoon. 20 minutes from now, I'll be joined by Nick Kostos with his thoughts on last night's Chargers win over the Vikings, 37-10. We bet the Chargers -3. It was great. It was wonderful, to be quite honest. The game, not so much. The game was kind of a snoozer, but great to get home there with the Los Angeles Chargers, a no-doubt winner, which hopefully is a sign of what's to come this weekend in both the NFL and college football. Speaking of which, it is that time of the week where we break down the most popular betting sides in both NFL and college football. I always enjoy doing this, and it's not just because I'm like, oh, like, I need to be on the other side of these bets, but it kind of gives you a peek into how bettors are going about this week and what sides might be a little bit too trendy heading into an NFL Sunday and a college football Saturday. So we'll start with the NFL. So these are the top five most bet spreads from a ticket count standpoint, courtesy our buddy John Ewing over at BetMGM. So the fifth most bet side, and this is one that I guess I'm not on this side because the number is different, but the fifth most bet team, the Philadelphia Eagles laying 7.5 against the New York Giants. Now, I laid 7. It's a different bet than 7.5. Even though at that half point, it's the world of difference, that half point there. But even at 7.5, I don't hate it. I think the Eagles are the much, much, much better team, and they're starting to round into form despite all like the weird cryptic posts from A.J. Brown. And now we have like a legitimate reason to be concerned about A.J. Brown with this hamstring injury that has prevented him from practicing Wednesday, Thursday, and today, which has his status in doubt for this upcoming Sunday against the New York Giants. But this just, to me, screams like a nice revenge spot for Philadelphia. And also, too, like I talked about in the last segment, the Giants have a boatload of injuries as well at pass rusher with Brian Burns and in the secondary with a couple of starters. So to me, the A.J. Brown injury kind of balances out here. I do believe that Philadelphia is going to be able to run the football. So I'm with everyone that's betting the Philadelphia Eagles. I laid 7. They liked 7.5. I think it's going to cover regardless. I can rock with the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday. The fourth most bet side. This is another one where I'm with the public bettors, if you will. But, I mean, The caveat, it's at a different number. But I still like this bet at this number. And that's the Pittsburgh Steelers Sunday Night Football against the Green Bay Packers. So Pittsburgh +3 is your fourth most popular bet. I bet 3.5 earlier in the week because you know how I feel about Mike Tomlin. Fade him with big expectations on the road. Bet him with no expectations at home. And this is such a good angle that since 2007, no coach has been better as a home underdog than Mike Tomlin. And the numbers are staggering. How about 21-7-3 against the spread as a home underdog since 2007? That's 75% against the spread as a home underdog. This is the quintessential Mike Tomlin spot. And I love the idea of backing him. And I'm sure that's what a lot of people are doing. They look at that, oh, Tomlin plus points. And also the Aaron Rodgers angle as like, this is a revenge game, which Aaron Rodgers said that it's not a revenge game. But like, I also don't believe you, Aaron Rodgers. I do believe it's a revenge game because anybody who's competitive will see their former employer and be like, you know what? I want to stick it to them, even though they might have done right by them the whole time. But still, you want to stick it to them just because, hey, I used to mess with you guys and now I don't. And now I want to beat you. And that's how I think Aaron Rodgers is going to go about this. Come Sunday night. But I think this Steelers team, you're going to get their absolute best. And sometimes the absolute best is not good enough to cover. But I just like the idea of betting on a team where I think we're going to get the A++ performance. And I do believe we're going to get that from Pittsburgh. And also, too, with Green Bay, because they're getting some guys back from injury. Christian Watson being the biggest one. He'll make his 2025 season debut after tearing his ACL in January of this year. Like, that's great. But we've also not seen the Packers be able to put together a 60-minute football game. They've been great in spurts. And as they say, like I think it's Bill Raftery or maybe Grant Hill, one of those guys, or Clark, I think Clark Kellogg's the one that always talks about it. Spurtability. Like when he talks about college basketball teams being able to go on runs. The Packers got great spurtability. They can go on runs. And they play like a quarter and a half, and you're like, whoa, that's the Super Bowl champion. And then the rest of the game takes place. And you're wondering, all right, why is this look kind of clunky? Why is the defense not being able to get off the field? I agree with Nick. I think it's going to be a high scoring game. I swore off total, so I'm not going to be betting the over, but I do think Pittsburgh is competitive and keeps this within a field goal. I think the Steelers win the game and pull off the small upset. So +3.5 is a bet for me. And if you're putting together an underdog money line parlay, the Steelers on the money line would be in that parlay. And I will put that in come Sunday afternoon. The third most popular side in the NFL this Sunday is the San Francisco 49ers catching 1.5 against the Houston Texans. Now, this number has bounced in the face of the public bettors as now there's 2.5s that are out there. So if you didn't bet the 1.5, guess what? You can get at a better number. BetMGM has 2. A couple sharp sports books here in Vegas have 2.5. I don't ever think we're going to get to 3. At 3, I would bet the Niners. Like I think 3 would be a little bit ridiculous. But when you look at the game, it is Mac Jones on kind of a bumish knee against what is a hellacious pass rush led by Will Anderson Jr. That dude is elite. He's incredible on the edge. And Mac Jones, not the most mobile quarterback. And now he's already banged up. Might not bode well for the 49ers, who continue to just be hammered with so many injuries. I mean, their defense on that side, because you can think about, say, hey, well, Mac Jones, what's he going to do against the Texans pass rush? Well, what's CJ Stroud and that bad offensive line going to do against the Niners pass rush? Well, the Niners pass rush might not have any bodies left. Like, that's the Niners pass rush. Bosa's on IR. See you later. See you in 2026. Bryce Huff now is going to miss the next couple of games with an injury. He was their other pass rusher. Mykel Williams, their first round pick, good player, not really known for rushing the passer. He's more of like a run defender, but he's going to have to be known for rushing the passer if he's going to help them out in this particular game against a poor offensive line for the Houston Texans. If I had to bet the game, I think I might just like tease the Niners, maybe tease Niners up to like 8.5 or 8. But to me right now, this is a pass. If we get out to 3, I'll be forced to bet San Francisco. I'm hoping that doesn't happen because I'm not like enthusiastic about betting that, but from a number standpoint, it'd make way too much sense to bet the 49ers at +3. But we're currently sitting at 2.5. The Niners, nonetheless, are a very popular side, third most popular over at BetMGM. The second most popular side this week is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers laying 4 against the New Orleans Saints. Now, very sneakily, Tampa, incredibly banged up in this game. The biggest one for me, not even on the offensive side of the ball, but it's on defense with Vita Vea, their nose tackle. Vita Vea popped up on the injury report yesterday, was DNP. On Thursday, DNP once again on Friday. Now, Greg Aumann, who covers the Buccaneers for Fox, he says that there's a very good chance that Vea will play in the game. The expectation is that he should be active. He's another one of those veteran guys that like doesn't really need to practice to play. Put him in that category. So I would expect Vita Vea to be on the field for this Tampa defense. But a banged up Vita Vea, like, let's just, you know, that's not all systems go. And to me, I think these injuries for Tampa, it's going to prevent them from winning this game by margin. Like, I could see the Bucs winning by a field goal. I could even see the New Orleans Saints pulling off the upset. Because if you look back at the game last week, obviously New Orleans got beat up pretty bad by the Chicago Bears, but turnovers were the story. The Saints couldn't stop turning the ball over. That's on the road, on a natural grass field at Soldier Field. Now they're back home in the friendly confines of the Superdome, where Spencer Rattler has been good this season. Like, we've seen him put together good performances. This, to me, feels like a back-and-forth affair I would never lay four, and in fact, I am on the other side. I took four with the New Orleans Saints. So Saints plus four is a bet for me this Sunday. And may God have mercy on my soul as I back my friend Spencer Rattler. Once again, the quarterback that I believed in before anyone else. The most popular side at BetMGM. And this makes a lot of sense given the injury news of the week. But it is the Chicago Bears at plus 6.5. As I talked about in the last segment, I'm on the other side. I like the Baltimore Ravens now that it looks like Lamar Jackson is likely to play. This is now back out to 7 at BetMGM and other sports books across the country. I agree with that move wholeheartedly. The Bears secondary is just way too banged up to be wanting to back Chicago. So talked about it in depth in the last segment. If you missed that, check it out in podcast form. But I like the Baltimore Ravens minus 6.5. So those are your five most popular sides with the NFL. Let's roll through college football before we wrap up the hour. Fifth most popular bet in college football tomorrow, Alabama laying 11.5. No, can't do it. I'm on the other side. Give me South Carolina plus 11.5. This is the spot where you kind of have to worry about Kalen DeBoer. Like, we talk about, oh, DeBoer's teams always win. They're really good in these games against great opponents. That's all 100% true, I should say. But when DeBoer has big expectations against an inferior opponent, that's when you need to run the other way. I mean, we literally saw it week one against Florida State. Oh, you know, FSU laying 13.5 in Tallahassee. They should take care of business. Oh, nope. Florida State beats them outright and beats them pretty bad. And we were all led to believe that, oh, maybe Florida State's good. They're not good. They're actually really terrible. But Kalen DeBoer's team against an inferior opponent laid an egg. I don't know if South Carolina is going to win the game outright, but I do know they are going to cover this number 11.5. I like the Gamecocks at home plus the 11.5, especially with all the big opponents that Alabama has faced over the last month. The fourth most popular side, Texas A&M laying 2.5 at LSU. No interest in this game. If it ever got to 3, I would love LSU, and maybe there's a reason why it's not going to get to 3. Maybe we should bet LSU at plus 2.5. Just no real strong opinion from me with A&M and LSU. Third most popular side, this is interesting. UCLA plus 24.5 at Indiana, the big noon kickoff game. That to me is a lay it or don't play it situation. Only Indiana. I've not placed a bet on Indiana. My college card is a little bit smaller than it has been in weeks past. But if I had to bet this game, it would be on the side of the Hoosiers as opposed to the fun story with the UCLA Bruins with Tim Skipper and Neuheisel's kid as the OC. Second most popular side. I can't get down with this one, just given the fact that I always lose money betting these Oklahoma games. But it would be Ole Miss plus 5.5 as the second most popular side. That is a bet that I will not be making on Saturday. And the final one is Vanderbilt laying 2.5 against Missouri as the most popular bet at BetMGM. No bet for me between Vandy and Mizzou. But want to get this news in as we wrap up the hour. This just coming down from all of the insiders in the NFL, A.J. Brown has officially been ruled out by the Philadelphia Eagles. So no A.J. Brown this Sunday when they're taking on the New York Giants. Cam Jurgens, their center, already ruled out, as has Azeez Ojulari. So no A.J. Brown. We will talk about the line movement with that game all throughout the 3 hours on deck here on You Better You Bet, as Nick Costos joins us to break down what we saw last night with the Chargers beating the Vikings on Thursday Night Football.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.